book of Deuteronomy in chapter number 11, and then beginning with verse number 1. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. All right, if you find the place, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. And therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge, and his statutes, and his judgments, and his commandments alway. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his outstretched arm, and his miracles, and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt, unto Pharaoh and the king of Egypt, unto all his land. And what he did unto the army of Egypt and their horses, and to the chariots, and how that he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how that the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. And what he did unto you in the wilderness until ye came into the place, and what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliam, the sons of Reuben, and how that the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households, and their tents, and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all of Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord, which he did. Now verse 12. A land the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon him, from the beginning of the year unto the end of it. To the end of the year. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. We praise you and thank you, thou art God from everlasting to everlasting. Beside thee, there's none else. Lord, we praise you and thank you for salvation that is free, and that is for everyone that'll receive it, and for everlasting to those that do. Bless, I pray now, the word to every heart tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I'm going to preach a little while from the beginning to the end. And you look in this lesson here, do you know God never sees anything one page at a time or moment at a time? When God sees it, he sees it from the beginning all the way to the end. Yes, sir. And before you and I were ever born, God saw us from here all the way to the end. Make no mistake, nothing catches God by surprise. He's never going to be able to get to heaven and be able to say, well, you know, I'll be jigger. I never did figure that was going to happen. He's never going to do that. He knows that from the beginning all the way to the end. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, I said the other night that maybe the other morning, whenever you get saved, it marks the beginning of real life. You're not really living until you get born again. You're dead in trespasses and in sins until you get born again. When you get born again, life's really begun, and now you've got a reason for being. Now, I want to say, first of all, is, number one, we notice that there's the loving of the Lord thy God. Now, what a phrase that is, and what a thing that is. That's something that we ought to not only exercise ourselves, that we ought to be manifested and teach it our children. In fact, don't lose your text, but back over in chapter number 6, you'll find in verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Every fiber of our being ought to be involved in worshiping, magnifying the name of the Lord and loving God. If you read the same chapter over there or the same phrase that was given in that chapter in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse number 37, he adds, and with all thy mind. In other words, one reason why the world's going to hell in a handbasket is because that's where their mind's at. When God saved you, he changed your heart, he changed your soul, he changed your mind, and buddy, let me tell you, we ought to love him with all of our mind. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, with all thy heart and with all thy soul and all thy might and all thy mind, you know what that is? That's a personal thing. And you're looking at to it, and you'll find out that not only is it personal, buddy, it's a peaceful thing to be able to walk with God. Now, I'm going to leave here tonight, and whenever I get done, Lord willing, whenever I go home and pillow my head tonight, and I plan to go to bed and go to sleep talking to the Lord, and I plan to wake up doing the same thing. But now, if you're just simply the only time you think about God is every now and again you have a little religious, whimsical wave that blows through, we're not talking about that. We're talking about something that lasts and got stronger and grows more maturely as the coming of the Lord since the day that you got saved. I was thinking about in this Bible lesson that you're looking at, the Bible said these words shall be in thine heart. And not only shall they be in your heart, but I guarantee you is that if it's not in your heart, it'll fizzle out sooner or later. If it's all you got's a little bit in your head, you know what's wrong with the average Baptist? They scuttle around on Sunday morning looking for a good reason why they can't come to church and feel good about themselves not doing it. I mean, it's to say it don't matter what service that it is. They look for a reason. We're looking for a loophole. We live in a loophole world that somehow or another, and all that business there. There's not one of us in this building here, if you were driving home, trying to drive home on a Wednesday night, I doubt seriously with your head busted wide open, your binocular, I doubt seriously you'd have made it on in here. You'd have had a loophole and could have thought, I better go lay down somewhere. Or I may ought to stop and get this burger. Or I'm got to get in the picture. I'm just saying to you that if you will, that it makes no matter to me whatsoever. I'm just trying to tell you God's going to know the difference. In the lesson that you're looking at, notice what he said there in the passage, number two, is that loving the Lord involves something there in verse number one that we ought to pay close attention to. And that is that we shall love the Lord, keep his charge. God's given a charge to us, hasn't he? Now, here's what the charge involves in verse 1. Keep his charge and his statutes. Now, that's not an idol. A statue, I'm going to tell you what that is here in a moment with the Lord and what it is. That's not like somebody building a statue and something you can hold or something you can make. We're talking about the statutes of God. We're talking about the laws of God, the command of God. It encompasses anything that comes from the word of the Lord and the command of God. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that his judgments and his commandments, and notice in verse number one that he said it's always. Now, there's a passage there, and we ought to look at it and be very careful about it, because here's what a statute is. It's the legislature of a state that extends its binding force to all of its citizens. So when God talks about his statutes, it's not just talking about for Jews or Gentiles. He's talking about for Jews and Gentiles. He's talking about worldwide message and a worldwide command. In this lesson that we're looking at, you know, Baptists are notorious. In fact, is I know a lot of Baptists, and I've had a lot of arguments with Baptists. In days go by, if you preach something to God on them, well, you know, that's in the Old Testament. That's for the Jew. I said, is it all right now to commit adultery? Is it all right to lie, cheat, can take the name of God in vain? Is it all right? No, it's not all right. I see, that kind of gets rid of that, doesn't it? And all that business there. The statutes of the Lord, they override anybody and everybody, and it's a binding thing from God that charges you and I to be obedient unto him. Now, let me tell you, a statute is distinguished from just a common law. In other words, it supersedes all laws that have already been given. It's a special act of his supreme power. It's a permanent rule of the law of God. In fact, it's going to be unchangeable because it's been settled. Remember whatever he said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Listen, God doesn't just say something just for the sake of being able to have something to say. Let me tell you, what we're talking about is something not for the moment, but for something that's for all time. I know somebody, and you'll know somebody, and you ain't got to think very hard. I know somebody that across the country there that used to go to church. Now they don't. You know why? It's because there wasn't an all way connected with what they did. In other words, what they got was something they just simply mustered up, and when it fizzled out, flesh fizzled out, then they were out. See? I want to say to you that make no mistake about it, is that you'll find that many of them go back to the returning of their vomit like the dog did, or to the wallowing of the mire like the sow does. I want to say to you that, if you will, that the Bible teaches over there in the book of Proverbs at about chapter number 26, is that these are people that are wise in their own conceit. They think they're witty. They think they got some kind of good explanation, and it satisfies them, and they act conceited about it. But you better be careful about being conceited when it comes before the Lord. You know, there's a passage over there in the book of Proverbs. We're talking about here always that God's given us concerning His commands, His demands, the charge He's given, the citizens it reached, the message to the world. God so loved the world, the Bible said, as part of it. In Proverbs 24, verse number 21, the Bible said, meddle not with them that are given to change. Now, you know what that means, don't you? Listen, you start out with God and living for God and walking with God. And let me tell you what you'd better realize in Malachi chapter 3 and about verse number 6. He said, I am the Lord and I change not. If you've got something real with God, it'll be real this time next year, next month, till Jesus comes again throughout all eternity. It's not going to change whatsoever. Over there in the book of Psalm chapter 119 about verse number 89, the Bible said, thy word forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And let me tell you right now, the world's trying to do what they can to ditch it. You know, they're trying to bend it, and they've tried to rewrite it, and they've tried to do everything they possibly could. But let me tell you what they're going to finally end up doing is they're just going to finally end up leaving it aside. And it's not what they're saying sometimes. It's what they won't say and what they don't say. And that's where the rub's really going to come. I was thinking about, when you look into this Bible lesson here, that in verse number 2 he said, and know ye this day. Look at that. And notice what he said. Now I'm talking to you, he says, and the reason why that I'm talking to you adults is because your children have not seen what I'm about to tell you you saw. In other words, I want to charge you because it's going to be up to you. Y-O-U, that's a personal charge. Your ears have heard what I'm about to say. Your eyes have seen what I did at the Red Sea. Your children, some of them wasn't even born, no doubt. But you saw. Passages of Numbers chapter 16, a little bit here in this chapter. Look over in Psalm, don't lose your text, but in 106, and there's a passage over there that we ought to look at, Psalms 106, verse 17. In the passage, here's what he was looking at. He said there, the earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And fire was kindled in their company, and the flame burned up the wicked. I want to tell you right now, you talk about God rehearsed over and over again what Israel did, where they got away from God, how they became idolatrous, so forth and on, how they had forgotten about the demand and the severity and the command and the statutes of our Lord. Now, last but not least, I want to say to you that in verse number 12 of our text, the Bible says, and the Lord, the eyes of the Lord have seen it. Notice that. He said, a land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even to the end. Now, you know what that tells me? God sees me from the beginning of the year all the way to the end of it. He sees every time I've done right. He sees every time I've messed up. He sees every time that I've needed to repent. He's seen every time that He's had to forgive me. He's seen every time you're getting the picture. In other words, we're not just simply all of a sudden nobody's going to know this. Nobody may know it but you and God, but God's going to know. Yes, God's going to know. I make no mistake about it. David thought that he was footloose and fancy free. Remember that? When he committed adultery with Bathsheba and whenever he got her pregnant out of wedlock, and then he took her husband and put him in the hottest part of the battle and had old Uriah the Hittite, had him slain by the enemy, and everything was going to be fine. Looked like he's going to get by with it. But God was looking. Yeah, and let me tell you, God looks at us and He cares about us and from the beginning of the year all the way to the end. I gotta tell you, I'm glad that God's grace is sufficient and that He's a merciful Savior and Lord. You ever just finally pitch yourself a fit and then there's nobody else around, nobody knows about it, but boy, God smites you in your heart about it? Sure you have. Unless you're not saved. You're not saved, then it doesn't really matter, see. If you're not saved, man, at least I can throw a fit then. Yeah, well, you're going to hell. You might as well. A child of God has a battle going on the inside. in this lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, he sees how we regard his commands, his statutes, his charge. He sees that. And let me tell you what he does is that he sees also if we're serving him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our mind. Getting it? I got to tell you right now, since the day I got saved, and what a privilege. I thank the Lord every time, now and again, often. Lord, thank you for saving me. The other night there, the storms were coming up and all that. Man, things were blowing around and flash flooding. And man, it clapped so hard sometimes. It felt like it blowed the house in two and all that business there. I mean, it was pretty rough. And all that been, did you thank God for taking care of you? Sure. Sure, every now and again, it'll make you catch up on your prayer line. And all that business there. I mean, sometimes you just have to do everything you know how to do and then be able to fill your head and say, Lord, if you don't let me wake up here, I'll wake up on the other side and see you. But watch over what I got going. What's that old proverb the Chinaman said? He said that he had a horse and there was a typhoon or whatever they had, a tidal wave or something that was going to be coming through. And somebody asked him, and he professed to be a Christian, and said, well, what are you going to do about your horse there? And he said, well, I'm going to do what I can, and God's told me to take care of my horse by preparing for him. I'm going to shelter him as much as I possibly can. I'm going to make sure he's fed. I'm going to make sure he's watered. I'm going to do everything that humanly possible that I can do in the behalf of that animal that God's entrusted me with. And after I've done everything I know how to do, I'm going to say, Lord, I'm asking you to please take care of this horse you've given me. You know, after we do all that we can possibly do, I mean, really and truly, it's in the hands of God all the way around, see? But when I see all those buildings and all those lives and all that have been lost and all the devastation that's across the country, I don't want to never look at that without stopping to think, Lord, I'm sorry that it's happened to these people, but thank you that you didn't let it come to our people on this run, you see? It's good to know him in the free pardon of sin, and let me tell you, it's a good exercise in the beginning, all the way to the end of the year, to recognize that he is the Lord God, and besides him, there is none else. Let's stand to our feet. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word tonight. Of God, with these, our brothers and sisters in Christ, the family of God, how we praise you and thank you, thou art God, from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee, there's none else. Now bless every home represented here. Heal those that are sick.